All right, before we get back to the rest of the calls, again, last night, unbelievable experience. I will say this. You can't see everything being down on the glass. You can't see at the other end of the ice. I wound up with, like, you know, a sore neck from craning my neck up to see the video board.
Yeah.
It is very difficult to see at that low of an angle all the way down at the other end of the ice, between the bubbled glass for the penalty boxes or the benches, depending on what side you're on, besides, you know, all the marks in the glass. But let me tell you something. Right in front of you, at the angle we were at, which was right off the goal line, right to the left of Igor Shesterkin of the Rangers.
Igor.
Within the first 10 seconds, Alex Ovechkin ran somebody right into the glass right in front of us.
Wow.
And somehow I missed it on my stupid little camera.
Well,
because
you're not trying to record that is hard.
Yeah,
I know. You're trying
to
be present.
It's such a fast-moving sport.
Yeah.
But then he scores two goals in the first 4 minutes and change or whatever, like, at that side. And then, again, one other time, I think it was in the second period, he stopped short. Like, he came in screaming, stopped short, and all the ice sprays up into the glass. We got to see whatever you can't see is offset by what you can see.
And how,
if that makes sense, right? CK was telling me that there's kind of an obstructed view somewhat when you sit behind home plate at Nationals Park. Another thing I've never been able to do. I mean, the press box, obviously, but that's 16,000 floors up.
Right.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is there are some unique fan experiences. Like, I don't know if you're in the dream seats, or I think they call them dream seats, Northwest Stadium.
Yeah.
If you can see everything, if you're not partially obstructed by all the players and the coaches, I'm not sure.
I continue to think. I had good seats for my only game that I've been to. I just don't think the viewing experience of a football game in the stadium is cool.
I struggle. I see some things that I can't see on TV.
Yeah, but it's just. Yeah.
But I struggle. Like I'm.
It always gets me how narrow the field goal.
Going through all the tape from Wednesday, and I'm like, wait a second, did I see that live? I don't remember that.
Well, the press box.
Wait,
at Northwest,
I didn't realize
stinks.
That. You know, yeah,
it's like
and that's part
spot.
Of it, right? I mean, again, it depends on where you are. But I guess my point is now listen. I mean. You know, again, I might be a little bit biased. I mean, it meant a lot to me as a hockey fan my whole life to have that opportunity to sit on the glass. And, oh, by the way, I just happened to get the right game.
Yeah, no.
Not every game is going to be that way.
About it, yeah.
But my point is if you ever have the money, if you ever have the opportunity, treat yourself one time. And if you're a hockey fan
Cash
in any way,
because
I will
times.
Also tell you, I mean, like I have sat, thanks to my guy JVS over at Monumental, I've sat behind the basket in the Hennessy Club Loft at Capital One Arena last year for a Wizards-Raptors game. And there was great seats, great food service, all that
I
stuff.
I think basketball is the best viewing experience in person. I would say.
Maybe.
It's the easiest to see.
But I will also tell you, there was, different sport, different teams, different everything. The atmosphere was very kind of laid back and stoic and, oh, yeah, they're playing a game, as opposed to last night, which felt like
Capital One Arena for Wizards games is the Mo Gala. You know
the who?
You don't know nothing about that.
The
Mo Gala.
What is the Mo Gala?
I wonder if anybody on the phone, anybody that's a part of the Youngest in Charge movie, you know what I mean when I say the Mo Gala.
No, let's see if Dontell and Frederick knows what
Mo
Gala is.
Oh, Dontell, he up in Fred Rock. He don't know about the Mo Gala.
Dontell, do you know what the hell he speak of? What kind of gibberish he's
calling
talking
live
about?
From Afghanistan.
I have no idea what that is.
wait a second. Can you say that again so we can get a good sound drop? Can you repeat after me? Linnell, I have no idea what the bleep you're talking about. Can you do that for me?
I definitely can do that.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Now, I have no idea, zero knowledge of what you're talking about.
That a boy! My guy, Dontell, knocking it out of the park. Maddie's got that one all.
That still is going to get you closer to functional society out there in Frederick.
Hey, I do have to say this, though, man. I appreciate you guys, man. Your show bring so much flavor, man, with you and the youngest man. You guys bring the flavor to sports radio because, like I said, the two that surround you, I just can't. It's just too boring for me, man. You guys bring the flavor, and I love the show.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, Dontell. Hey, thank you.
You even like Social Security Tuesdays?
Yeah. I mean, Social Security Tuesdays is not as fiery as Windbag Wednesdays, and, you know, we'll have to forego Throwdown Thursday for tomorrow. But, you know, I will tell you this. Whether you like the show, whether you think we argue too much or not, I guarantee you ain't getting that anywhere else. You know? I mean, you ain't getting it anywhere else.
Dude, I couldn't get through Wednesday, man. I so badly wanted to get on Wednesday because I wanted to offer my counseling service to the youngest because, Chris, you had him fired up, dude. He needs anger management.
What are you talking about, last week?
Yeah. Counseling service to the youngest.
You hear my voice? I've been playing hurt since last Thursday.
You guys were off the hook, man. But I do have a question about the game, a play, actually, that I want to ask y'all about. First of all, we need T. Higgins for the red zone. We need him. And I know I'm going to sound like a broken record with T. Higgins, but we're selling Jaden short. We're selling Terry short to get them the help because both of them will go even further if they had that extra man that they need. Yeah.
Here's my question about T. Are you making that trade just for this year with the thought of not signing him long term, or are you making that trade with the hope of signing him long term?
Yeah, it has to be a sign and trade. We have to keep him. Not no 1 year rental.
Okay. He's injured a lot, too. He's banged up a lot, too. He drives me crazy in that regard.
Dude, I don't even know if he's that banged up, man. He don't want to be in Cincinnati.
Well, that's a good point.
Here's my question about the football game.
Yeah.
Here's my question about the football game at the end of the game, because I've been getting mixed feelings on this. They were down, I think they were down 5, and they ran the ball on 3rd down, and it was like 1 minute and something left, and it went to like 4th and 3. They needed a touchdown, in which they got. But we let the clock run all the way down instead of using our last time out to keep 1 minute on the clock for our offense. Why did they do that?
About Chicago.
You're talking about the Bears before the St. Juice defensive pass interference, right?
Right.
We
had 1 minute on the clock, and on that 4th down, they let it run all the way down.
Yeah,
like
so 1:19, Caleb scrambles up the middle for 2 yards, and then the next play, the 4th and 3, the play where they go far right in the end zone for the defensive pass interference. That is run at 35 seconds. So you're saying they should have run a taken a timeout there with the thought of, hey, they might score here. We've got to preserve time.
Right. They have to score.
Here's the problem, and it goes back to something we already talked about. They keep wasting timeouts. They only had 1 left. So you needed to save a timeout on that final offensive drive if you needed, meaning if you couldn't keep their asses out of the end zone, which they couldn't, you needed to save at least a timeout so that they could do ultimately what they almost had to do if Terry doesn't get out of bounds on the second to last play. That's the thought there. But again, if you don't waste timeouts earlier in the half, which they have been very wasteful in my opinion, then you don't have that same dilemma.
Well, this is the thing. I don't even want to say that they'll be wasteful.
Thank you, D.
Would you rather them use the timeout or have them take the penalties that they were going to take?
Back then?
These situations.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, it's a great question.
Because this offense, though, as good as they've been, I don't think they have
–
their margin for error is still slim.
No, I understand that. I mean, and clearly you don't want to go from 3rd and 2 to 3rd and 7,
it's,
right?
Exactly.
You know, if that happens on false starts. That happens on illegal right? It's almost like – that's almost like the cost of doing business sometimes.
When you want to go tempo.
Timeouts are so crucial in close games. And even though that game was being largely controlled by Washington for 3+ quarters, we all knew because they couldn't punch it in the end zone
it
wasn't over and that it was just, you know, a break here and a break there. And that's exactly how it played out. So I get your point, but it's almost like I look at it as collateral damage. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. The cost of doing business.
Or the cost of doing business. Let's get to Jason and Laurel next up. What up, Jace? How are you? Thanks
for
hanging in there.
What's going on, brother?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
What's going on,
Jason? Good to talk to both of you.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
So I was on Cloud9 Sunday. Cloud9. I mean, we dominated the game. Would have loved to score more points in that ending. I'm 50 years old. I think, even with the Super Bowl victories,
I think that's the greatest Redskin moment I've seen. Wow. See the crowd react. Wow. I mean, I, and again, I'm 50. I saw the Super Bowl champions. I was young. But, you know, it was just incredible.
But you would say that one moment, not the significance of the Super Bowl victory, correct?
I'm talking about the moment, but to your question in the beginning of the show, where we're at, I think it's a 9, where the Redskins are elevating, or Commander, whatever we're calling, where the football team's elevating us. You know, Michigan gets that record this year. Heaven forbid if the Wizards luck out and draft the kid from Duke that everybody's talking about. Mm. What we're on the precipice of, I think, in this town for where we're going to be sports, I think is amazing. And, you know, Linnell was talking about this earlier too. JD5 is a national story. Ovechkin, as he gets closer to this, is going to be a national story. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have people here looking at what we're doing week in and week out. And I don't remember when that's happened before. And when the Skins were in their glory days, there was no other juice. Yeah. We didn't have a baseball team. The Wizards were terrible. The Caps were just what they were.
Well, it started to happen, though, in the middle part of last decade, which we chronicled, like 2014, 2015, when you had Bryce, Strasburg, the Nats were making the playoffs, the Caps were in the middle of the Rock the Red era, the Wizards with Wall and Beal, and then the Commanders, or Redskins, or whatever, Redskins at the time, with Robert, and then into Kirk, and, you know, and so on. So I mean, it's not that far removed from the time where we were, all arrows were pointing up, and that's my kind of worry, is that fizzled out pretty quickly. Does something happen here where it, you know, so maybe I'm a little more tepid
things
in my optimism.
Unforeseen things always happen, because let's think about what really ruined that era, right? John tears his Achilles.
Yeah.
So the Wizards
largely
become
injuries, right.
Kirk doesn't get re-signed. But then we get Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And he breaks his leg.
Yeah.
So
that's a little bit further down the line.
The Wizards' prime was like 17, 18. Alex was 17.
Yeah, okay. So you're right. I was thinking we were different. Okay.
I'm chronicling as a 4-year span from 2014 to 2018.
Right. Okay.
To where the Redskins kind of caught on last.
That's fair. All right, so Jace, you think
we're
it's
so
a 10.
Much greater than where,
you
than
think
where
it's
we
a,
were then.
You think it's a 10.
There's one question about.
Right?
What are we going to do with Cliff Leach? Can we keep Cliff?
Cliff.
Can we sign him already? Is that possible?
Can we keep who?
Cliff.
Oh, Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, no, we need to build a statue of Cliff Kingsbury. But you got to run the damn ball, Jason.
Yeah.
If Brian Robinson, if we would have lost that game, I'm telling you what my number one complaint would have been. I charted 15 straight damn plays where Robinson doesn't touch the football.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you. Now, is it possible his knee was bothering him a little
bit? I don't want to hear that. If you're out there, run him. I don't care.
What do you mean you don't? Jason. Appreciate you. What do you mean you don't care? If he's banged up, if he's not 100%, if he's not feeling right.
Drive him into the ground. You got Chris Rodriguez for the second half of the season.
Don't tell me Rodriguez is Brian Robinson.
I'm obviously joking, but like the point is like it's the rushing attack with him in particular. Because a Eckler handoff and a Robinson handoff and a McNichols handoff are three different things.
I would agree.
Physicality, the physical element and the style that B-Rob runs with. You wait till it starts getting cold outside. You wait till it starts getting cold.
But that's part of the problem, too. If somebody is, like, banged up, right? And I don't know if this was the case. I don't know if he's going to be on the injury report or whatever. I have no idea. I'm just trying to figure out, okay, well, why would you abandon what has been so good for you?
Does it have to do with his pass protection at all, maybe? I'm trying to think.
It's possible because Eckler and McNichols are clearly better. Yeah. It's not like B-Rob's bad,
right.
I don't think, but
they're
clearly better.
Which is interesting because they're smaller guys, which actually is a benefit in pass pro because when you got to get low.
Yeah, although Eckler get blown up on a pass protection the other day?
Well, no, T.J. Edwards came on that's the play that I'm saying Edwards grabbed
his face mask, right.
He disguised, it was a great disguise.
It was a delayed blitz from the linebacker spot. He came right down. Yeah. Okay, that's
right. And Eckler still got a piece of him.
Yeah, that's right, right, right.
But Jaden, the fact that the boy's Houdini, what Jaden Daniels does,
There were three first down runs. Actually, the third one was initially marked a first down
and then
run.
They made it short.
But it was third and 9, third and 8, and he did that little dipsy do juke early on.
Dipsy do.
Then there was a 3rd and 3 where he got all the way around to the side, and he buried because he was being harassed.
Yeah.
And then on 2nd and I think it was second and 14. He ran for basically 13 and a half yards.
Yeah.
And he made another move. Listen.
He's Houdini, man.
I mean, Jaden wasn't his best in terms of accuracy and overall ball placement the other day, and he was not helped out by drops or non-catches. But when you see him do those three runs that I'm referencing, when you see the majestic pass to Terry early on in that game, even though they don't get a touchdown out of that.
Because uncorks one.
Yeah.
But this is the thing about him, and I was I told you I was talking to Jordan Addison's family before we came on the air today. Man, watching him in camp, anybody who asks, I continue to tell them, like, I didn't know he can run in camp. There were probably three signature runs all of training camp. And it's still, you take it with a grain of salt because you know he can't get touched. But watching him throw the football in person is still some of the most impressive stuff I've ever seen. Now, obviously, I've only had the opportunity to see Carson Wentz and Taylor Heineke and Sam Howell. But just the way this kid throws it, man, we may have one of the all-time greats here.
Wait, you mean Taylor Heineke and Jaden Daniels aren't the same?
I will never forget that training camp. I came in, that was Howell's rookie year. I came in screaming, you know, Howell actually looks the best out of all of the three quarterbacks.
320 on the team, not any. We got to take, what? Oh, we can? Oh, okay. All right. Uh-oh. Matt says we can do this.
Welcome.
Paulie.
It's about time we brought some real on the show, man.
Well, I mean, real what? A real pain in the ass? What's up, Paulie?
What up, Pete?
Hell to the W, man. Hey, Russell, man, how much you paying Athens, man, to come up here and talk all that crazy? What you paying him?
I mean, he might be on the payroll,
hey,
Paulie.
Hey, you better check that W-2, man.
What you paying him in blue cheese dressing?
Right.
Hey, Lynette. Hey, Lynette. You know, Win Back Wednesdays is pretty much, you know, lockdown, Esther Stone. But on Thursdays, man, we're going to call this Jealous Ones Envy. You know what I mean? A little Fat Joe style for you. Because Russell is so jealous of you, bro.
No way. He
talk about your brand. And you do have a brand. I told Russell yesterday, his only hope is hopefully getting a laundry detergent sponsorship or something like that. You know what I mean?
Hey, Paulie, you be cutting up,
Hey, look, man.
Hey, Paulie, I'm so damn good, I don't need a brand, baby.
Oh, my God.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, like I said, I just say what your brand is. Jealous Ones Envy. Uh-huh. That's your brand, bro. I ain't never seen that. You talking about, I don't get a lot of feedback on social media. People are just mad at me because you're always saying something crazy. You know, Linnell actually has some interesting stuff to say. He actually searched the web and has discussions with other
right.
people.
Right, he consults with the committee and all that stuff,
you know
right?
What I mean?
Yeah, I never have anything interesting to say on social media.
Paulie, make sure you're on time tomorrow.
The only thing I got on Linnell about was just give people credit when, you know, when he sees something. Somebody. That's it. That's all I have to say. But anyway, let's get to the team, man. You know what I mean? I hear Russell. This is what I'm talking about, though. I heard you went all crazy and ham about DVOA, but then you get up here and kick all these, this field, and this, that, and this, that, said this. No, the whole thing on the goal line thing, you got two games that skewed, right? And both of the games was kind of the same thing, you know, penalties and non-execution. Mostly it was penalties, you know what I mean? But what I'm going to say is to improve on red zone, and I would say they need to be – I need to see more play action out of big sets. Like,
wow, look at you. That's a good pull, Paulie.
You don't need more creativity and spread the defense. That's gimmicky football. When you get to goal and goal situation, that's real football. So you got to have real football plays. I need some two tight end sets. Some play action, maybe some bootlegs, some slant. You don't need a T. Higgins or a 6'7" receiver out there. It's about man-on-man-o, being physical, and not trying to outsmart everybody.
What, play action and bootlegs aren't an extension of what I'm talking about?
It's not. You talking about being gimmicky.
You're talking about man on man. You just want to smash Brian Robinson right through the A gap.
No.
Well, that's what I want to do.
No, what I'm saying is, if you line up in a big set and you run on first down, you come back in a similar big set and you play action on second down or whatever it goes. What I'm saying is don't run on first down and then get in the shotgun on second down because you just tell you. I mean, you giving away your hand already. You know what I mean? If they stopping you on a run on first down, why are you going to get in the shotgun and play at nobody?
Well, because it, when you're in the shotgun, people think you're going to pass. That's why.
No, but okay, they don't have the fear to pass because the end zone is only 10 yards deep. So what kind of drops are the linebackers going to take?
Well, that's why you need a T. Higgins.
Hey, Paulie, you spin gospel right now. You really are.
I don't know about that.
Chris Russell thinks I'm kissing your ass, but in reality, like, go ahead. Oh, he dropped him. But honestly, like, I think
Maddie said you have a time limit. I mean, we're just, you know, we're not even going to gong your ass all the time anymore. You got a time limit. I know. Well, you told me to go to one.
Y'all better stop for the Prince of Passion pulls out his whooping stick. we better let the Hoffman Show not start at 3:59:59 today.
Update on Matt's burger. Matt's Big Burger.
You ate
Matt's
the burger?
What was it called? Matt's what?
Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac. An update coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Back along to Dearborn. Up now to Ovechkin. And brought down the wing. Back to Wade. He shoots. He scores! Alex Ovechkin from the slot. Kept it low on Igor Shesterkin. 16:37 to go. It's 1-0 Washington. Here's a puck turned over. Protas in front. And he scores. It's Ovechkin off the faceoff. Protas feeds it across. It's a multi-goal game for the Great Eight. 5:10 into the game. It's 2-1 Washington.
Oh, bang, bang, baby. Yeah, you're right. 5:10 into the game, and Alex Ovechkin had two. Now, he'd finished just with those two. John Walton on the call. Caps Radio, 106.7 The Fan, the Odyssey app. Alex Ovechkin's chase for $8.95 is brought to you by our friends at Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local, put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Alex now with goals number 856 and 857 last night. Goals number goals number 3 and 4 on the year. And he's now got 7 points in 8 games played. When he scored the 2 in 5 minutes and 10 seconds, you almost thought he was going to break the record last night. And instead, you know, I mean, obviously that didn't happen. But now he sits, Alex does, at 38 goals from breaking the record, 37 goals from tying the record in his pursuit of Wayne Gretzky. Just an incredible atmosphere last night at Capital One Arena. And again, that was sandwiched. There was a Ranger goal in there. There was a fight. There was Alex literally just trucking somebody right into the glass partition right in front of Grant and me, but right to my side, and somehow I missed it. And it was just such a cool experience. Again, I would highly suggest, as we've said before, if you can ever afford it, whatever, and I know it's very expensive, it's worth the experience. I mean, you know, most normal people can't do that more than once in a while. But if you get the right night and the right time, and somehow if you get lucky later on in the, you know, I wonder how, like, are tickets, like, in March going to even be available? Like,
for this
because
group,
people are going to start snapping them up now. Like, there was a time where the Capitol started to kind of not fall off significantly, but where tickets were available. You almost have to, like, kind of start now just buying tickets in advance and just hoping you get lucky.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll still say they pack out.
Oh, they do.
In terms of, like, the local sports teams, who gets the most consistent turnouts? The Caps.
Now, it's a smaller crowd than, obviously, the Nationals and the Commanders. So we should keep that in mind. It's like 18,000 and change.
At Nats Park.
Oh, at Nats Park?
Yeah.
The attendance always fluctuates for sellouts because of standing room, but it's about 41,000 and change, somewhere in that range.
And looking at Northwest, I think they're down to about 65,000 seats.
They're down lower. I think it's 63,000 and change.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's 63,000 and change. But, I your point, the atmosphere consistently at Capital One Arena for Capitals games for a long, long time is by far the best electricity that you feel as a sports fan. So, again, thanks to our friends at Main Street Bank. All right, an update on Matt's Burger when we come back after a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so game five of the World Series is tonight at 8:08. Why? Well, because the Yankees staved off elimination last night. They were down 2-0 early, another Freddie Freeman home run, but they stormed on back to win game four. Again, keep their season alive. But the big story coming out of this one was the fan interference down the right field line between Mookie Betts of the Dodgers and two dumb Yankee fans who not only interfered with the play, but tried to yank and rip at Mookie Betts's wrist, the ball, his glove, and everything in between. The Yankees have said not only were the two ejected, which we all knew of, and correctly last night, but they will not be permitted to attend tonight's game in any capacity, and added that Tuesday night's incident with Betts was, quote, egregious and unacceptable. As far as next year goes, because they're a season ticket holder, they said it was not immediately clear as to what the Yankees are going to do, but they will not be at Yankee Stadium tonight. Meanwhile, the New York Jets are getting ready for Thursday night football against the Houston Texans, who are without Nico Collins, lost Stephon Diggs for the year. The Jets have been a mess, as we all know, and today they put their struggling place kicker, Greg Zuerlein, on IR, as opposed to cutting him, and they signed two place kickers to the practice squad, including former commander Riley Patterson. A warrant request in Detroit and Wayne County, Michigan, has been issued for Lions troubled wide receiver Jameson Williams, who is serving game two of a suspension from the NBA. Bulls often troubled and often injured, guard Lonzo Ball has a grade 1 or 2 wrist sprain. It's going to sideline him for at least a week and a half and perhaps more, injured in Monday night's win over the Memphis Grizzlies. And Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers is out 2 to 3 weeks with an ankle sprain, and that's what's trending.
All the women.
He says he's a man on a mission, ladies and gentlemen.
Ow!
I don't know what any of that means. I care about so little other than the Wizards and the Hawks tonight at 6:45 right here on the Team 980, back at C1A. Wiz going for two in a row after the stirring win on Monday night. As well,
do we get to hit the Wizards and clean up on out there?
Yes, we do.
Wow.
As well, game five of the World Series tonight. Can the Yankees stave off elimination?
We know it's over.
For a second night in a row, Garrett Cole on the mound against...
That's what Yankee fans are all scared about. How many times is Garrett going to go in this? You throw Garrett until his arm falls off. Right. You need him.
We'll see. Let's get to cleanup on aisle three. I hope Matt's okay with it, because I didn't really ask what we may have missed, what we forgot, what we need to touch on, what we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three.
I love that on this board.
Yes, indeed. We begin before we get to the Wiz. With the NFL, the other day, the Baltimore Ravens lost to the Cleveland Browns. Maybe there was some football spirits and gods in the air after their longtime play-by-play voice had passed away the day before. Jim Donovan that fueled, maybe it was Jameis Winston talking about the logo on your helmet and then realizing, oh, bleep, we don't have a logo on our helmet. Jameis, I love, man. He's just the best.
I love him, too.
But Kyle Hamilton did not come up with an interception on the second to last play of the game, and then the Cleveland Browns won it and so on and so forth. There have been, you know, we talked about communication issues, cadence issues, right? Cliff Kingsbury sometimes, you know, whatever, sometimes bogging down the Commanders. The Baltimore Ravens have had communication issues on the back end all year long. Kyle Hamilton. Did I say the right name this time?
Yes.
Kyle Hamilton on communication issues today at practice, quote, there's not a time for it at any point of the season. So I ask you, Mr. Seasoned, former Division III football stud and purveyor of all things pigskin, is there ever any time for communication issues?
Is there any time for it? Like, is it allowed?
Like, is there week 8, I would say you probably shouldn't be having them. But early in the season, I think it's acceptable, and even midway through the season, football is a complicated communication language.
It is, and I think Baltimore, you have to think they have a new guy leading their meetings.
Correct.
So that's going to take some time to get used to how the new guys do things. But I would say this about the communication issues. If you're going to mess up, man, everybody better mess up the same way. Because I think that is what, when big plays happen, is when one guy messes up. Now, when everybody messes up, you're just messing up in unison. Mm-hmm. I think that's much better. But for Baltimore, man, I worry about it because the key to winning the AFC, in my opinion, for them at least, is going to be limiting the other team's offensive possessions. And I think they got the right formula to be able to do that.
Although that secondary has been kind of messy all year, right?
Yeah, but if they can run the ball and keep teams off the field, like...
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't do that against every defense.
No, you can't. Kansas City...
You're not going to roll up the Chiefs like you know...
Chris Jones gave them hell in week one. I mean, so... No doubt.
I mean, we're used to communication issues around here, especially on the back end. So none of this
since Jim Haslett.
I guess my point is I think the communication is a lot harder. And I'm going to give you a real quick example. The other day, Bobby Wagner, right before the fourth down stop, the third down and two run, his back is turned to the line of scrimmage. As he's communicating and talking to the rest of his teammates. And then he turns around right at the snap and he makes the run stop. So that's one way to eliminate and kind of... Now, you can't always do it that way. But my point being is...
Yeah, simplified things, man.
It's interesting because if they didn't make that play, that would have been a play that, you know, like the fan base around here would be like, what the hell is Bobby Wagner doing?
Exactly.
All right, that is one. The Wizards did win the other night, 121-119. I touched on it a couple of minutes yesterday. I thought, you know, obviously good balance, really good shooting. You know, for the most part, my goodness, I mean... Here's my question. Do you want Alex Sarr taking 5 or 6 3-pointers a game when you have the 3-point shooters that you already have?
Yes, this is called development on the job.
Okay.
On the job training, some people like to call it. I watched him Saturday. I was in attendance at Cap Ones, which is my first time seeing them in person, which is my favorite way to consume them now. The shots.
Boots on the ground, you mean?
Boots were firmly planted on the baseline. His shots
where did you steal
slow.
That term from?
Boots on the baseline? Original thought.
Boots
on the baseline's original thought.
No, boots on the ground.
His shot, the mechanics of his shot need to speed up. But I think while he's not shooting it at a good clip to start, it's only been 3 games. I think it's giving him the time to get the slow shot off because teams aren't closing out hard on him.
Mm-hmm.
I can give a rat's ass, though, about the way he's shooting. He has been... maybe the most impactful rookie to start this year. Him and Bub Carrington have been probably Reed Shepherd can't even get on the floor in Houston. He played 3 minutes the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Bub Carrington and we're probably gonna see Keyshawn George start tonight.
Bub shot well from three.
Yep. Keyshawn George finally hit some threes against Atlanta. He's gonna start tonight probably in place of Kuz, but yeah, they've been super impactful, and I think you're starting to see their defensive effort pick up. And Bilal Coulibaly, it may be time. He may be going into that next stratosphere,
and he should, quite honestly.
But the offensive game is picking up. But I just think for him, it's just what he does in his sleep.
And you mentioned Kyle Kuzma; he's already been ruled out of the game.
Good.
You know, tonight with the groin injury.
You shouldn't say good.
You don't want to.
I don't want to be hurt. I'm sorry. I
mean, he played well the other night.
Yeah, but man, just watching, he's the only one on that team that takes bad shots. Like Jordan Poole is fitting like a glove. Mm-hmm. Clearly is their best player right now, in my opinion. And then being in the locker room and like seeing who guys gravitate to, the young pups love Jordan Poole. Now I had someone tell me that, well, maybe that's not a good thing. I think it is a good thing. He's a former champion, lighthearted. Good dude.
Mm-hmm.
I like the chemistry that they have as a team outside of Kyle Kuzma, who doesn't seem like he fits.
Last thing on the Wiz Hawks, back-to-back two-game tango here. This one at Capital One Arena, again, here on the Team 980, 645, the coverage right after Hoffman, a chance to go to 2-2 and get their first win, home win, I should say, of the year. Zachary Risseche struggled on Monday night. Yeah. Again, it's game number three.
Yeah.
Or actually, it was game number four.
For them, yeah.
For them. Did you see anything that like jumped out to you, good, bad?
He had an interesting quote to John Hollinger of The Athletic. He said, man, in France, I was the most athletic. Here, I'm normal. I think that perfectly sums up his game. It still can catch and shoot with the best of them. I think that's like his
right.
skill that's going to translate right away. He just got to get bigger.
Yeah,
he gets moved easily on defense because he's wired.
Yeah, but this is what happens as you mature physically, mentally, emotionally, what have you, right? You also learn how to play at this pace.
For sure.
And, you know,
for sure.
How many games do they play overseas, like in normal regular seasons? Like 50, 60?
So he was in like the top league over there. They played a lot of games. It's north of 35, I believe.
Right, but it's not 82.
No, nowhere near.
That is such a huge jump.
Nowhere near.
For guys mentally, physically, and emotionally. All right, the Wizards again, 645 right here on the Team 980. And finally, we wrap up clean up on aisle three with this. So much to my chagrin, I did not know Matt knew about it. So we ordered lunch for the crew. And part of the reason why I ordered a singular burger was because it was named Le Big Matt. And Le Big Matt Essig knew about it. And yet we took the pictures. He knew about it. We touched on it earlier in the show. Have you had the Le Big Mat?
Oh, of course.
This afternoon.
I'd be honest, if I hadn't eaten it within the past 3 hours, it'd probably be gross sitting out now.
Possibly. I assume there's some sort of, I remember when I ordered it, some sort of sauce of some sort.
Yes.
Right?
There's a special house sauce.
It's a pretzel
bun, good pickles, some lettuce.
What made it the Le Big Mat? Is it like a dual burger or anything?
Two patties.
Like? Okay.
Two patties, I think Gruyere cheese. I mean, it's delicious.
Is it separated, the patties? Are they stacked one on top of each other? Or are they separated
cheese,
like a Big
patty,
Mac
patty, cheese,
is?
Patty. And I think there might be a layer of the special sauce in between also. But
not extra bread like a Big Mac
No.
is.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's a pretzel bun. You don't need extra bread or anything because the pretzel's fantastic.
Oh, the pretzel bun is a tremendous idea.
No, Emmy so squared, Le Big Mat, fantastic, 10 good. Out of 10.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, there's lots of things that I could do to thank you for all of your help on the show, but, you know, every once in a while, it's good to keep your producer's tummy happy. Linnell, I even tried to buy you lunch, and you said, well, I drank so much water, I couldn't. So I feel bad. You didn't even want the lunch that I got you.
It's not that I didn't want. I'm just full. Drink.
Eat.
Eat a liter of
manja.
33.8 fluid ounces of the official water of the Major League Baseball World Series, Deer Park.
Mangiapane. Andrew, what? Mangiapane. Do you know what mangia means? Mangia, in Italian, eat. That's what old Italians do. Andrew Mangiapane, Capitals for it.
Oh, the baseball team.
Clean up in aisle three.
Yes, the baseball team.
Darn it, that means I miss Moron of the Month tomorrow.
It sucks for you.
You'll
coming up
tune
next.
In.
I'll have to tune in.
Dum Dum of the Day. Maddie, I'm going to make an executive decision here. I like story number two more than story number one. What happens when you think you see the Northern Lights?
What?
Stay tuned. You'll find out. Oh, it's not the weekend yet, but it's approaching. Matt's off on vacation. Matt, you're going to Cancun. We're very jealous of you.
You're going to Cancun?
Yep.
For an entire week?
Like not in America?
Nope.
Like on an airplane?
I am not swimming. I can guarantee you that.
Wow.
I'm not swimming to Cancun.
You're
I
not
am
walking?
Taking a flight.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
How far would you get walking to Cancun?
Matt's with us for the... Well, not very far. Maybe like Fredericksburg. Matt's with us for the next couple of days. You're out tomorrow, but you're doing your thing in Largo, right? Best damn sports show thing. So good luck with that. Appreciate you being here as well. Craig Hoffman coming up next. Wizards basketball at 6:45. Let's do it up. Final regular broadcast day of the month, because tomorrow we'll have Moron of the Month, which is a celebration of all the dum-dums of the day.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
We have a high surplus in the state of Florida of dum-dums. They just infiltrate and they stay, and it's like mosquitoes just sucking the blood. But we've seen a rapid increase of international dum-dums. And maybe it's just what Matt finds and Matt chooses, and I'm going to give him credit and blame. 56-year-old Dee Harrison, a nice young lady, right? Just happened to be leaving for work, driving to work one morning, 5:15 in the morning in Brantford, Suffolk, England, when she noticed a very noticeable, and you could see on my computer, a very reddish hue in the sky, right?
Pretty. Oh, my goodness gracious.
No, Susie, calm down. I know you were very excited about the rain last night. I know you were excited about Gleyber Torres. Like a good Gleyber, Torres is there. John Sterling whipping off all of his one-liners. I got you. I feel you. I was listening. But anyway, Dee Harrison was driving to work when she saw in the southern England skies this red hue. And she thought it was the northern lights. She got out of her car. She took pictures. She thought it was the Northern Lights style aurora. Whatever the hell that means, I don't know. She had a good idea until it was exposed by somebody who responded to her social media post after several compliments, saying, quote, "They are lights from a local tomato factory."
What?
"It has full spectrum lights that shine red into the sky when there's low lying fog or cloud. I live up the road and I've seen it a few times."
Sure.
And of course, data from Aurora Watch, whatever that is, UK, said there was, quote, "no significant activity in the area this on the morning of this incident when she was on her way to work." And that's it. So basically, they weren't tomato cans, but they were from a tomato farm. And she thought they were Northern Lights, Aurora, whatever. And she thought they were something cool. And, well, as often is the case on social media, you know what happens when you assume, right?
No.
You make an ass out of you and me.
Congratulations. You're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Very pretty pictures. And who would have thought? Who would have thunk that they would come from a tomato farm? I didn't even know there was such a thing as a tomato farm.
Tomatoes are
I just
disgusting.
Thought there was regular farms. Tomatoes are good.
Nah.
Cucumbers are good.
Ah.
Lettuce is great.
6:30. 10. Love it.
Oh, tonight?
Yep.
6:30 to 10 over on the Big Stick. Who are you having at 8:20?
Stay tuned.
The one and only time slot for a guest.
One and only.
That is allowed. All right. That's Linnell. Make sure you join him tonight, 6:30 to 10 over on 106.7 and the Odyssey app. Matt, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of the show. Halloween tomorrow. All you ghosts and goblins, show up here at 1 o'clock on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.